Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. Taylor, how are ya?
I'm doing well, thanks.
So, anything good that you need to tell me?
Yeah, anything new? You know what? I have been watching a great TV show that I highly recommend. It's a little bit unconventional. So, I'm sure you may have heard of it. It's called Bluey.
I was going to say, is it a cartoon?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Bluey. It's an international children's TV sensation. Have you seen this?
I know what Bluey is.
You know what it is. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, for those of you who don't know, it's about a family of four dogs, two parents and two little girls, and the oldest girl's named Bluey. And I started watching it with my kids, but then I was kind of like, I kind of want to watch it without you guys. So they're short, right? They're like 7 minutes. So while I'm eating my breakfast, I might watch an episode of this. And it's been great because they do a lot of like games. They play a lot. They come up with a lot of really fun games that I then go and play with my kids. So the one we did recently is, it's called Feather Wand. So you take a feather and you pretend that it's a magic wand, and anything you point the feather at and say heavy at, it suddenly becomes like 500 pounds. So if like, you know, if I'm carrying something and my daughter points a feather at it and says heavy, then I have to like, you know, drop, fall to the floor with the thing. And they like it. I like it. You know, and it's, I can see why this show has become an international sensation.
Well, they do say, you know, the one of the gifts that parents get when they have children is the fact that they get to relive their childhood as an adult and be able to go back and do all those things that they really wanted to do earlier. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You know, understand the cartoons, understand, you know, yeah, how to jump when they are at, anyway.
Yeah. What was your thing when I was a kid? What was your thing that you got to redo?
Well, I liked the fact that we got to go to things like museums and places, the Disney Worlds, the museums, the science centers, because when you see it through the eyes of a child, it's just completely different.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And you forget what you thought when you were there as a child. But as an adult, you're kind of reliving in that and you're like caught up in the excitement of whatever the child thinks.
For sure. Yeah, the science museum is a cool one because you're like, you know, when you're an adult, you might be like, hey, pipe down, kids, I'm reading this thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you see things, you know, with being pushed by air or down a tunnel, and it's things that you might not, as a child, understand, but as you grow older, you've had some of these experiences and you understand, wow, that's gravity, or, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, the Museum of Science in Boston has some really incredible stuff. I love the lightning generator, yeah, right? That's a great show. So this month, we're talking about curb appeal in New England spring. And this week, we're going to focus on spring color schemes. Last week, we talked a little bit about how just New England presents some difficult weather challenges. You just don't know, is it going to be really snowy? Is it going to be really muddy? Is it going to be beautiful? So how do you think you should tackle color schemes in New England spring?
So I think I referenced this last time where I said, I think everybody needs to have a base of kind of greenery. So whether it's the roadies or the deciduous trees or grass that looks like it's in good shape. Mm-hmm. I think you start with that.
Yeah. So start with green.
Start with green and then add your pop of colors in the places that have the greatest impact. Mm-hmm. So for instance, I have a portico over or a porch on my house. And one of the things that I've done to really enhance the color and make it look a little bit better is I put planters up on top of the porch. And I actually fill it with greens over the holidays or, you know, the winter months. And then in the spring, I end up putting in geraniums and hanging plants and things that are going to last me the 6 months. But I add color to kind of a drab situation by accenting it with bright colors.
Yeah, that's an important piece of the puzzle too, because which colors should you accent with? I'm, you know, I like bright accent colors just as a matter of style and as a matter of like what I think looks nice in a home. So if you're going to get those colors, I'm a fan of going for like the bright yellows, the bright pinks, the bright blues.
Reds. Geraniums.
Yeah, exactly. The reds, because those stand out, right? They stand out amidst some of the darker shades that you get from like a wet spring and can really, I think, set your house apart.
I kind of feel like in the spring, I'd love to see the pastels that, mm-hmm. that you see in, when you see pictures of May where it says April showers bring May flowers and you see this bouquet of different colors. I love seeing that in May. And then I think people tend to, in the summer months, do something that lasts a lot longer. Mm-hmm. Like a planter that's got a geranium in it mm-hmm. or not the ones that come and go like the pansies and the daffodils. They go for ones that are longer lasting. And I love that because I think people get to add a lot more color and a lot more variety of plants.
Yeah, absolutely. So because, you know, in springtime, you're not going to be able to lean on those like daylilies that they'll last you for months and months, but they're just going to come later. You know, they like the weather a little warmer. How about like actually what color you paint your house, right? So around here, colonials are pretty common. And on a colonial, you might have three colors you're working with, maybe four. So those would be exterior, the shutters, the door, and the trim, right? What kind of colors do you think about? And what for the spring, what do you think works in a New England spring?
So it's really interesting about house colors. Mm-hmm. And probably the first thing I tell people to do if they're thinking about painting their house is to actually drive around their neighborhood.
Okay. Yeah. Good idea.
Because if you have five white houses in a row with black shutters, you start to think, well, this is a little bit consistent. Mm-hmm. And will I really stand out? I've driven down streets where the house has all been painted purple. And my first inclination was, they must have had a great paint sale at Home Depot because that would not be a color that most people would be enticed by.
Mm-hmm. I will say in kind of the suburbs, that's definitely true. You go into a place like Cambridge or Somerville where everybody marches to the beat of their own drum, and that's definitely like a plus.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a community that's a little bit more artsy and got the kind of hip vibe.
Yeah.
Tends to be bolder with mm-hmm. their choices in color. I think you get into the suburbs where people are looking at neighborhoods. But one of the things that I did when I was choosing my paint color was if everybody on the street has white or everybody has a yellow or a white or a taupe or whatever it is, I tried to make the choices where those four things went together. Mm-hmm. So mine is maybe taupe with beige downspouts and trim. Mm-hmm. But then I did the forest green shutters. And then I did a bold kind of burgundy door. So at some point, you want to be a little bit bold. I tend to find that front doors are the way to do it because they're easily changed if you get tired of that color. And I think it's not expensive to do that. So that's kind of fun. And I like to see a variety of color in a neighborhood. I don't want to be the exact color of my neighbor or neighbor next door. It's really nice to see a variety of different houses.
Yeah. And what about like comparing the exterior colors of your house with the interior? Do you think it's important for them to align? Or do you think those are just two different spaces that can be completely different palettes?
I think they're completely different.
Yeah. Now, that's what I think, too. I think you can do whatever you want on the outside and whatever you want on the inside. And as long as you're consistent in each domain, the two domains do not need to be consistent with each other.
And I agree. And I think people who, depending on the age of your house, you know, there are some historic colors that people tend to go with. I also know that I've sold a houses that were red. And sometimes red throws people for whatever reason, even though it's bright and cheery.
Yeah.
But people hesitate to do that. Or a bright yellow house that falls into the kind of the historic yellow or bright blue. Mm-hmm. So I think it just depends on like you said, kind of your neighborhood. Yeah. You know, if you're in Cambridge or if you're in downtown Boston, you're in the suburbs, everything's a little bit different.
Right.
But I think you do tend to see a trend in the individual places.
Right, I agree. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with the joke of the week and a question from the audience. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs, too. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today. All right, Mom, have you heard about the last house in the neighborhood?
No.
It was last, but not least.
Oh, very good.
Right, that was pretty good.
I just wonder, are you getting these jokes out of that book for children where it says the best children's jokes?
Probably.
Yeah. I'll never be able to figure them out.
Right. Okay, so question from the audience. How do you determine how bold is too bold when trying to attract potential buyers or simply enhance curb appeal? So I think a lot of it has to do with the neighborhood, right? What are some, like, what is the look of the neighborhood?
Or environment.
I mean, because
it could be in a city environment or,
right.
You know, that, or like you might be in a space that is all like lofts and, you know, just more industrial. So the look is a little bit different.
Right. And I think bold is really about intentionality. Like if you can show people that you think about your house really intentionally and how it presents very intentionally, then you get a lot more latitude than if you're just thinking about parts of your house in a silo. So if someone said to me, hey, Taylor, what do you think of me painting my house, you know, bright pink? I might be like, okay, well, we're already starting a tough place, but tell me about the rest of your house. Like, is this a look that's just going to work because all the pieces are going to come together in the right way?
And I actually think that there are Victorians, and it doesn't matter where they are. They can be in the city or out of the city. But people who buy Victorians and go to paint Victorians oftentimes use accent colors that were very much used historically. And, you know, you have a place like on Martha's Vineyard where you go to Oak's Bluff and they've just decided they're going to have lots of wild colors. And
right.
So you want to kind of go with that movement and flow of that group. But I think that Victorians and, you know, certain areas pride themselves on making a color statement on their house.
Absolutely. And Victorians is just a great example of this concept in general, because basically every architectural element of a Victorian house is bold. And if you were to peel out any one of them and just slap them on your generic like center entrance colonial home, it would look weird. But on a Victorian, it looks great because it all comes together.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're always trying to do, is the house has to speak to each other.
Well, thanks so much for that question. If you are a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.